Okay. So this is a bit out of order, but I'm gonna start with the Haftarah this week. We haven't actually talked much about Haftarah this year, which is chaval. The reason I want to talk about the Haftarah is because Malachi, which is the Haftarah for Toldot, is a bit different than most of the other Nevi'im, so it is worth noting. If people know anything about Nevi'im Achronim, if they know anything about Nevi'im Achronim, which is an if, they know, and in you know, secular or modern literature, people often point this out, that the Nevi'im Achronim are the ethical prophets, what they call them, because the message of much of these Nevi'im is you bring Karbanot, but you're unjust, right? You rely on the Kedushat Beit HaMikdash, but you don't realize that God wants you to obey Him and be a good person rather than just, you know, be involved in ritual. And that's the opening chapter of Yeshayahu, that's Yirmiyahu, that's Micha. That's a lot of these Nevi'im, where ritual is really downplayed, and ethics, general morality is played up as the main issue. Right? Hosea is like this. Right? Hosea and his bitter lines. Right? That you wait. You hear people saying, "When is Shabbos going to be over so that I can get back to cheating people?" Right, he's very explicit about the types of things that he's worried about. There is one major exception to this, and that is Malachi. And it's important to note this because the key really to all of Tanakh is to remember that Tanakh is integrated. Torah is integrated. And therefore, you know, some people read Yeshayahu and they say, aha, Yeshayahu doesn't care about ritual. But you have to remember that's obviously not what's going on. The Torah cares about ritual, and the Torah cares about morality, or cares about ben adam l'chaver and ben adam l'mako. The point is that the Torah and the Nevi'im are pushing this, are looking for holistic commitment. Right? They want people to be committed both to the ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chavero. And they say that it's not that they don't care about ben adam l'makom, it's that specifically karbanot, they feel like if you bring karbanot and think you can buy your way to God without actually living a religious ethical life, so that's particularly problematic. But when they see a problem on the ritual side, they also call it out. This just happens not to have been the major problem in the time of the Nevi'im Achronim, besides for listening to Nevi'a Sheker, right? There is some Avodah Zarah, obviously. There's always a little bit of Avodah Zarah. But Malachi is the one who really, really focuses on the ritual. And therefore, it really is important as a balance when people are thinking about what the Nevi'im's message is. So this is the opening Nevuah of Malachi. Now, the reason that it's the opening Nevuah of Malachi has nothing to do with the message we're going to look at. The first message that he starts with is actually what we talked about last year, or maybe 2 years ago, which is, this is Masad Dvar Adonai El Yisrael Biad Malachi. This is the Nevuah of Malachi. And he says, Ahavti etchem amar Adonai. Va'amartem bameh ahavtanu. Halo ach esav liyakov nu madonai v'ahovet Yaakov. It starts off with this amazing line that we have spent hours analyzing, which is, God says to the Jewish people, I love you. I have loved you. And the Jews say, in what way did you love us? And God responds, because Yitzchak had two kids, Yaakov and Esav, and I hate Esav. So, since I hate Esav, now you also know, Vahoved Yaakov, that I love you. That is his message. And this has led to a lot of speculation of why it is that this is about Esav, and why particularly Esav? We have a lot of enemies. Why does he particularly pick on the descendants of Esav? And there's a lot of reasons to it. Most of it seems to be that Esav is the only of the other nations where there was a real option. Right? This week's parsha with the sealing of the bracha make it clear that there was a real option. There was a real possibility in people's minds that the chosen people were Esav, and that has created sort of this political, theological conflict that goes for centuries, and therefore everything is seen through that lens in Tanakh, because the Jewish people see it that way. It's not the same way with the Plishtim or even Ammon and Moab. Right? Esav, it's not just he's our enemy, but when he is ascendant, right, that really is an indication that maybe he was chosen. And you see that specifically because Amalek is part of that picture also, right? Amalek is our foil, right? So there's a lot to be said, and that's why this Haftorah is chosen here. What? So this is the other point, is that Ahava and Sin'ah in Tanakh don't seem to me love and hate as much as chosenness and rejectedness, which you see by Leah, right? It's not clear that Leah was hated. It's that Rachel was clearly the chosen wife, and therefore she feels rejected, right? So this is another point I think we talked about last year, was that it's clear from here that Sin'ah doesn't really mean we hate you as much as, right, I'm in a relationship with you and should have chosen you, right? It can mean hate, but that's not primarily what it means. It means rejection, and that's exactly the point, right? Is Yaakov says, how do I know? Yisrael says, how do I know you've chosen me? It's because I rejected Esav, right? I rejected Esav and I chose you. That's how you know that I'm in a relationship with you. And that's why it's put here. That's why it's the Haftorah. So there's a very brief summary of what we talked about last year on the Haftorah. But then God says to them, you skipped to Pasuk Vav, Ben Yechaved Av, the Eved Adonav, right? A son will respect his father, and a servant fears his master. V'im Avani Ayek Vodi, if I am a father, where is my honor? V'im Adonimani Ayek Morai, and if I am master, then where is the fear that I deserve? Amar Hashem Tzvakot Lachem, HaKohanim Bozei Shmi. The Kohanim humiliate my name. They degrade my name. V'amartem. And now the Jews say, B'ameh Vozinu Et Shmecha. In what way have we degraded your name? So God responds, Magishim Al Mizbechi Lechem Migo'al. You're bringing disgusting bread on the Mizbeach. V'amartem b'meh ge'alnucha. And they said, in what way is it disgusting? So if this was Yeshayahu, what would the answer be? Because you think you can get away by bringing a fat carbon and you're unethical brutes. Right? That would have been Yeshayahu. That is Yeshayahu. Right? Or Hosea. But he says, no. B'amarchem shulchan Hashem nivzehu. It's when you say, the shulchan of Hashem is degraded. V'chi tagishun iver lizboach, ein ra. You bring a blind carbon, and you bring a crippled carbon. And then God says, in this line, maybe we did talk about it last year, but it's important to talk about it every year, because it's actually halachic. For Chazal, this becomes halachic, which is, bring it to your governor, your political leader. Bring a tribute of that type to your governor. Will that make him like you or accept your offering, Amar Hashem Tzvakot? And this is Malachi's central claim, is that the Jews, now for whatever theological reason, it could be that they say, look, God doesn't really need food, so who cares what we bring on the Mizbeach? He's not really eating it. But the point is that Malachi's claim is, if you're going to sacrifice to God, you're going to serve God, you need to do it in a dignified way. You need to show respect. You have to show investment in this relationship. And you're not doing it. And what's this proof? If you brought this to your officers, right, to a king you were trying to placate, would they accept it? Of course not. So why do I get less respect than them? And Chazal used this in Karbanot, and then it continues into Tefillah, that a lot of the laws that we have in Karbanot and in Tefillah about respect, about how you should dress and things like that, come down to this line of Hakriveu Nolefechatecha, which we assume that human beings should approach God with the dignity that they would approach a human leader. And again, the reason that I think it's important to read Malachi, because I know people don't read Malachi, I got that. You don't have to tell me that people don't know Treyas are cold, is because I do think that you have this tendency amongst all people to pick the things in life they think are the most important, and if they are religious, to focus on the parts of Scripture, or if they're Jewish, religious, right, Chazal tradition, and pick on the passages that they like the most. So if they think that ethics are more important than Bein Adam L'Makom, then they will quote Pesukim from Yeshayahu and from Hosea and from Micha. And people who make a big deal of ritual will say things, will quote Pesukim like, you know, where Nevi'im say, forget Shabbos. I'd rather you keep Shabbos and forget, right, and forget me, right? Which means, right, if you keep the ritual, eventually come back to me, but start with the laws. But the key is really to read them in tandem, is to realize that the point is that the Torah is by intention, by design, a holistic system. And ritual without ethics is empty. But to swing to the other side and say, well, ritual doesn't really matter, it's also wrong. Right? The Torah wants ritual to matter. We want you to instantiate your feelings of honor and fear in the physical world in some way. And when you do that, we want you to do it in a beautiful way. Hence, hiddur mitzvah. Right? Hence, we want you to dress respectfully for davening. These aren't, you could say, well, what does God care? Which is exactly what they say. And the answer is, okay, it doesn't actually make a difference to God. But it does show something about your posture, about your approach, about your perspective, if you would dress one way to see the president and a different way to see God, so to speak. If you would invest a certain amount of energy in a gift that you gave to your parents, your kids, your siblings, your spouse, right? But, and you'll take time investing in it, but you won't take the same time to care that you have an esrog that looks nice. All of that is part of a complete, integrated lifestyle. And if you want to ask, and that's why I think, this is true of Malachi, but it's true of Yeshayahu also, that people sometimes think that the message of Yeshayahu is to prioritize ethics. Right? But that's wrong. The message of Yeshayahu is prioritize an integrated lifestyle, meaning don't think you can get away with karbanot at the expense of ethical living. But Malachi is a balance to it, and that's why I think it's just important to be aware that it exists, because it is that other perspective. Again, that's not why it was chosen as our Haftorah. Presumably the reason it's chosen is that first half, and I gave you the shorthand version of that, of the notion of Ava and Sinah, of Yaakov versus Esav. Okay, those are some insights into Malachi. I feel like we should go